Bibles, I'd like for you to be turning to the fourth chapter of Acts. We've been in a series of ministering from the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the pattern for the New Testament church. I thank God for all the writings of the Apostle Paul, and then, of course, the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and such wonderful instruction to the church. But the book of Acts is the church in action. What should a church be about? What should a church be doing? What should a church be praying and giving? And what should be the life of that church? We ministered in Acts chapter 1 on God giving the power to wait. Americans are very impatient people. Freeway that I drive in on I-30, it's a very impatient group of people that drive that road. And some of the more wrecks recorded, they tell me, on that road than it's just a high volume, higher than it should be, of course. But Jesus himself, before he went away, said something very significant. He said, "I'm going away, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you." I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave something with you that is more powerful than my physical presence, that is more powerful than breakfast with Jesus, with the loaves and fishes, something that is more powerful than healing the multitudes and calming the troubled seas, raising the dead, and all the great things that we see in the four Gospels as we go to church with Jesus in the four Gospels. And so he said, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you." But the commandment was, wait, wait, wait. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone has to wait for a given period of time. I know some, and we grew up many years ago with that particular vein of, I don't know if it was, part of it was due to teaching, that it took a long time to receive the Holy Spirit, and God had to get you perfect before you received the Holy Spirit. And that's why so few people got through, because we can't be perfect in our own strength. Our perfection is in the finished work of Calvary and the cross, and we are complete in him. But then there's the power, ye shall receive power, supernatural God power. Supernatural. And the true New Testament church is to do things that are not natural, things that are not, it's not just academics. And one of the challenges of our generation, there are a lot of churches, however, some of the chickens are coming home to roost, but we're raising a generation of managers, not ministers, in churches today. We need men and women of God full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of God, who believe the Word of God, who will not compromise. I said, who will not compromise. And he said, you're to wait until you receive. And then we go to Acts chapter 2, and I'm not trying to re-preach those, I don't have time to this morning, but there was the power to receive. It's God that gives us the power through his mercy and grace to be born again. Amen. To be born again is not your bright idea. It was God's bright idea over 2,000 years ago in action on the cross, but it goes back to the foundation of the world where God planned and knew and foresaw that you would be born again. It doesn't bother me to serve a God who has all knowledge. Doesn't bother me that God knows who will make it and who won't make it. He doesn't make them not make it, because the choice is ours. God is not willing that any should perish. God is not a God that sends people to hell. You go to hell, you go to heaven. You go to hell, you go to heaven. The Bible said that God's not willing that any should perish. And God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it's on our part that God gives the power to receive. The power to receive. The power to receive. And I think there needs to be some adjustments across the... Well, I better not emphasize that too much because it just ain't happening in most, quote, full gospel churches. Very few people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's some all kind of ideas about that too. But it's God that gives us not only the power to be born again, but gives us the power to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I often say it like this: I learned to swim before I learned to float. You see, swimming was works. Swimming was works. I learned to swim, but I couldn't trust the water. I didn't want water in my ears. I didn't want water in my nose. The fear of going under if I did nothing and just laid still in that water to float. So as long as I could do something, that I understood salvation a little bit easier for that, even though you're not saved by doing. But in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you receive. You receive, and God gives us the power to receive. You know, God, we have the power to speak in heaven's language. It's amazing. Far too many of the body of Christ who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit spend any or very precious little time at all in praying in the Spirit. Oral Roberts was a real blessing to the body of Christ to tell us of the powerful things that happen when we just pray in the Spirit. Because we don't always know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession within us. And we pray as far as we can pray, and then we pray in the Spirit with other tongues. And then there's another level of groanings that cannot be uttered. And sometimes we've all known that powerful place and position when you can't say it, you can't pray it, you can't cry it. You're just awestruck in the presence of God. And that's what carpet time should be. That's what your quiet time can be. That you spend time in His presence until you stop hearing from people and you start hearing from God. You stop hearing from circumstances and you start hearing from God. You stop hearing from the news media and you hear the good news from heaven. You turn off the fake news and you turn on the real news. The real news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That no matter how difficult things look, God's going to bring us through and we're coming out on the high side of victory. God's kept this nation for what, some 240 years, isn't it? It's God and God alone that has kept this nation. And God is at work in our nation. Well, that's obviously already has been part of the message. So we have the power to wait. Commanded us, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. We have the power to receive. You have the power to receive this message or to tune me out. You have the power. But unless and until the Word of God becomes rhema or life to your spirit, you don't just hear the Word in your head. You hear the Word in your heart. You hear in your spirit, man. You hear the Word inside of you. A seed in a jar, a seed in a plastic container, a seed in a little piece of paper will never grow until that seed is in the ground, until that seed is planted, even the tiny mustard seed, and then it becomes a great tree. And you know what God's purpose is? Why are you here on a Sunday morning? You've come to plant your seed and to receive seed from God's Word and to leave this place in some measure never the same again. I've purposed in my heart, I'm not going to waste my going to church time. When I go to church, I'm going to get me some seed and I'm going to plant it by faith and I'm going to put it in the ground and I'm going to believe for it and I'm going to rejoice in it and it's going to bring forth fruit. Praise God. Then there's the power to heal. The power to heal. The man at Gate Beautiful. You remember how that Peter and John were on their way to the hour of prayer, and the man was healed at the Gate Beautiful. I don't have time to go into the depth of it that I would like to, but because I have something else I want to bring into the message this morning. But the fourth chapter shows us the power to grow into maturity. The power to grow into maturity. It is amazing how many people have been hanging around churches for years that are not spiritually mature. The least little speed bump in the road just throws their whole world upside down. The least little gossip, the least little somebody offended me, the least little some usher didn't look at me right, or the least little, I don't know if I like that song, or, you know, just the easiest place in the world to be offended is in church. I've never said that before, but I think I'm going to say what I think I feel in my spirit. But it seems like God has orchestrated it that way, because where you get offended is where you can get straightened out. You get offended in the world, you'll never get it straight out there. But if you get offended in the church, the Spirit of God will help you to get that thing right. And will deal with you until you can smile. And will deal with you until you can release forgiveness. You know, part of the Lord's Prayer, I pray the Lord's Prayer every day from Matthew 6. And that part of lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I pray it like this because I believe God opened it up to me. Lord, don't let me be confronted with something that I am not able to handle. Don't let me be confronted with any temptation or anything that I will not handle your way, and I'll handle it badly, and it will be a setback. Amen. Lead me not. Don't let me be led. Don't let anyone lead me. Don't let anything guide me. I want to be on track. But also that we forgive those who trespass or sin against us. Here's the way I pray that. Lord, as a faith act of my will, because when you've been in the ministry as long as I have, I've got an Encyclopedia Britannica that sometimes I have to forgive daily. Yeah, I mean, you got a big target right here, and it's like Dad that won't let you use the car on Saturday night, you know. A pastor is that way. We're general practitioners. You're already absorbing that last statement I made. All right, I can see that. But oh, God, help us to realize that when you get offended, you can get straightened out. I pray it like this. Father, as a faith act of my will, I release forgiveness, real or imagined, to those who have sinned or trespassed against me. Because I've been wrong 2 or 3 times this year already. Joke. You understand what I'm saying? You understand that well. All right. But I say, Lord, there's times I thought a thing was a certain way, but when I found out more about it, it really wasn't that way. I thought someone said, or I thought someone did, or I thought. You know, it's amazing how many things we get bent out of shape about that we got the wrong slant on it to begin with. There are people not here this morning because they got the wrong slant on third down information. But I say, Lord, for those who really did sin against me, really did whatever they did, whatever, or for those that I thought so, but really I imagined it because it really didn't happen. Lord, I just release forgiveness for the whole thing. Let's get it straight. Does that make sense? It sure makes sense to me. It's released something in me that I can pray that prayer. Lord, real or imagined? Real or imagined. If it's real, I forgive. If it's imagined, I still forgive. Amen. And it's amazing. You know what I'm talking about. There are certain things you have to live a while, and all of a sudden you say, oh, I didn't see that like I should have seen that. I didn't judge or assess that situation or whatever. If I had it to do over again, I'd do a better job on the way I looked at that or what I said about that or whatever. But the fourth chapter of the book of Acts is the church coming into maturity, spiritual maturity. I'm telling you, it's like Barry McGuire, who was on that crazy Broadway play. I don't know if you remember the name of it, but it was just a terrible thing. Years ago, someone threw a tract down on a street in New York and crumpled it up and threw it down. Barry was walking. He was a curious kind of a guy, picked up the tract, straightened it all out. It was a tract on salvation, and it was a tract that touched Barry McGuire's heart. And this man who was an arch sinner became gloriously born again. And I saw him on television, I don't know, a year or two ago on someone's program out in California. But I remember he was with us in two or three of our winter retreats, and it was a great blessing. Had wrote a lot of songs and had a very folksy way of singing those songs. But someone said, "Barry, you're just using Jesus as a crutch." He said, "No, man, you don't understand. He ain't the crutch. He's the bone in my leg." Jesus is not a crutch. He's a bone in my leg. He's the strength of my body. He's my everything. But God wants us to grow in maturity. After Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, he preached. And God used him as the preacher of the third chapter of Acts. And then the power of the name of Jesus, he continued to preach that. And what was the message of the New Testament church? Now, this too is revival. If all you hear is one thing, or all you have is one emphasis, you fall short. It's the whole counsel of God. And Paul said this thing was not done in a corner. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not, "I've got a secret and you'll never know, but I've got this great gifting of God." Listen, folks, we need everything that God has. And sometimes people say, "Well, is it this or is it that or is it this or is it that?" It's all of it. It's what you need right now. The gospel that you need is what you need right now. You said that's a general statement. No, it's a very specific statement. Whatever you need, He's all I need. We've sung that for years. He's all I need. The part of the gospel you need is what you're in need of today. If your marriage is hurting, you need the power of the gospel for your marriage. If your finances are hurting, you need the power of the gospel in your finances. If you're going through a difficulty with relationships or whatever, amen. You can't help it. You got some loud voices in front of you. Two men talking about all the problems in their corporation for about 2 hours of flight. And, their life was in real jeopardy because some things had gone wrong in the corporation they were a part of. I don't know what it was, but there was quite a stir between the two of them in that particular time in the air. But you see, they needed Jesus. I know that by listening to what little you could hear. They needed the wisdom of God. They needed the help of God. And whatever your need is, listen to me. Whatever your need is, this is not a cop-out. This is not just pie in the sky. Wherever Jesus will heal you wherever you're hurting today. That's what I'm trying to say. Jesus will heal you wherever you're hurting today. So what is the gospel of Christ? What is a New Testament church? What is the gospel of Christ? What is a New Testament church? Well, as I looked into the fourth chapter of Acts, and I don't have time to spend just briefly on each one, but there are several highlights here that are just in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. The gospel of Jesus Christ is all about salvation. It's all about salvation. You won't understand anything about God, church, or the kingdom of God until you're born again. Amen. You know, these soul winners, We hear it all the time. I've witnessed to several people this week. You know, people think it's this or they think it's that. Well, I do this or I don't do this, or it's what I do or what I don't do. But oh, there's only one thing that qualifies you for heaven and eternity with Jesus, and that is to be born again, salvation by faith through grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation. A church must preach genuine born again salvation. We first started in our little post office building that we refer to quite often. That was the beginning. But we had some people that came from a certain two or three different church areas where they do not preach, you must be born again. And some of them came to me a little hostile, and they said, one lady said, I don't like this, you must be. She probably didn't like her husband saying anything must either, but anyway, she said, you must be born. I said, excuse me, ma'am, I didn't write the book. The Bible said, Jesus said, you must be born again. I didn't say that. That's not something that I said. So salvation is important. And you don't have a New Testament church without having an emphasis on salvation. There's got to be an emphasis on salvation. What jettisoned us from a tiny location to a big location and then to another location was a mighty moving of God among those Jesus hippies of the 1970s, and we saw hundreds of young people coming to Jesus. No one else seemed to be interested in God that much about that time. And Vietnam and all of that era had its effect. But young people who's lost their minds on drugs and sex and craziness and Eastern meditation and all that came in and were gloriously born again. And our church just took a giant leap. Because when you emphasize salvation, Jesus is right there in the center of it. Also, it's a church that emphasizes healing. You'll find all of this in the prayer and in the actions of Acts chapter 4. Really, chapters 1 through 4, but I'm dealing with chapter 4. Healing. You know, most people, it's hard to get into a doctor, and our medical system is so messed up. I'm not here to cross lines there, but I hear war stories all the time. How I wish we could just go back to the way some things were. I mean, medical-wise, people are hurting, people are suffering, people can't afford insurance. I mean, you're penalized if you don't, you're fined if you don't, but then you can't afford it. You know, there's some people that are really in a world of hurt in the insurance situation. Well, I remember C.M. Ward, who was the speaker of Revival Time. We traveled as a little quartet when I was in Bible college. I remember one night in Corsicana, Texas, he said, I prophesy that the day will come that healing, that doctors and hospitals will become so expensive that we're going to have to go back to divine healing. That's years ago. Years ago. That day is upon us right now. And of course, that's God's first choice. Nothing wrong with the doctors. They heal more people than preachers do. Amen. But healing is a part. Healing is part and parcel of the Word of God. The Holy Ghost. Now, there's a third one that's been left out of most churches today. I still believe in the Holy Spirit of God. I believe in the third person of the Trinity. Amen. I still believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This has kept me on my feet for, it doesn't seem possible, 63 years of ministry. Started preaching when I was a senior in high school. It's kept me on my feet. The powerful baptism of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't trained even in Bible college in the starting of a church in a post office building. And what do you do with a hippie revival? what do you do when you're faced with needing millions of dollars? What do you do when you're faced with this? What do you do when you're faced with that? How in the world do you start a television station in Uganda? How do you do anything we do around here? By the power and the insight of the Holy Spirit of God. How do you start a Christian school? We tried on Berry Street, but our facility was too small and the city wouldn't let us. We moved downtown, and now we're 38 years down the road in Christian education, K through 12. And by the way, are we undefeated in our football team this year? Hey, 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 hey. What, 40 to what? 40 to what last? 40 to 12. That'll work. Amen. I'll tell you what, we got a good new coach too. DeMarcus, you're doing a good job, buddy. Amen. Everybody loves you guys. Amen. We thank God sent you here. But you see, the Holy Ghost, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. I know when Oral Roberts started ORU, and they didn't have a football team, but they had a basketball team, and they when the cheerleaders and everybody came out, they were singing, "Nothing is impossible when you put your faith in God." And the news media said, "That's not fair." They were just winning games right and left, and that was for a number of years. They really excelled. I don't know where they are in winning today, but I remember the news, it was an article, "This is not fair, using religion in a basketball game." Eat your heart out, world, we've just started. I said, eat your heart out, world. Believers are back in town. Hallelujah. Just get used to it. Praise God. We believe in winning too. All right, moving right along here. That felt good. Amen. Prayer. Prayer is important. Prayer has almost become a lost art in the kingdom of God. Oh, God, stir us. We're going to start some red hot Holy Ghost prayer. We're going to have some of it tonight. Listen, let me tell you something. When you get your back against the wall, a little now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my situation to keep. It just don't cut it, honey. Boy, you need to know how to hit the deck when the pressure's on. You need to know how to call on the Father in the name of Jesus and give the devil what for on the basis of God's word. Instead of just letting life and the devil and circumstances beat you up every day of your life, it's time we walk out. We are literally more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. But it's not going to happen if you don't pray in faith believing. It's not going to happen if you don't pray in faith believing. Oh, let brother so-and-so pray. He prays such a nice prayer. Honey, the life I live, I can't afford nice prayers. I need some mean prayers. That wasn't the right word. I need some strong prayers. Praise God. Listen, I tell you, I had a mother, and when she prayed, dear Lord, I mean, I think the devil took a vacation. I remember it was Janet one day, she said, "You know, Daddy, the only time I feel sorry for the devil is when Mama starts praying." She said, Mama doesn't cut him any slack. That joy is a praying woman. Hallelujah. Prayer. It's in the fourth chapter. In fact, they prayed prayers that got their preachers in trouble. They said, "Lord, use them in a more powerful way than ever before." There was hilarious giving that no one said, if I've got something that will help you, this is not communism. This is giving. This is loving. This is a church sharing, helping one another. We need to major in that. And isn't it refreshing? The only good thing about the tragedy of the hurricane has been it finally got the news media into reporting some news for a change. I mean, I'm sad about the loss. You understand what I'm saying. Please understand what I'm saying, because it's been a tragic loss. But that, you know, we get back to reporting the news instead of all this catfight stuff and, you know, that's going on. Oh, God, stir us. Well, you know, there was hilarious giving, and people are giving. We have people from our church down there right now. Thank God for giving. Thank God for giving. People are loving and giving, and truckload after truckload of goods and food and so on. Even I had to make a quick trip for a memorial service up to Boise, Idaho, Friday. And lumber prices are going up in Boise because all the lumber's coming down to Texas. I mean, because people are helping people. People are helping people rebuild. And that's the way it ought to be. Oh, that's the way it ought to be. And you'll find that there was hilarious giving. You know, really, folks, you've heard it probably as many times as I have. Brother Rich so-and-so passed away. How much did he leave? He left it all that he didn't send before. The only thing you're going to save in this world is what you send ahead. And God wants you to have enough to live on. We understand the principle of that. But you understand what I'm saying. You know, there's just a few multi-billionaires in America that could bail these hurricane situations out, that are sitting on the billions they made off of our back and off the back of America. Now, I can't take that any further. Don't want to. But anyway, hilarious giving. Amen. Hilarious giving. You know, this church being here today since 1964, it's not luck. It's not luck. It's little people. And we have relatives here this morning of one of the givingest women I ever knew in my life. She wasn't a high-dollar woman who was a high-dollar job maker, that type of thing. I don't know how that woman did it, but she believed God. And it was amazing the way that woman would give at the time the church needed it. I just threw up my hands. I never will forget when I was serving as an associate minister. I preached one time, and, you know, among probably many other times, I thought, oh, God, it's all over. I didn't say anything. I couldn't get anything said. No one seemed to give a rip, you know. And I was just, my feathers were down. And I walked out the side door, and I was walking toward my car, and this woman came running around the church, grabbed me and said, Pastor, I was associate pastor. She said, you don't quit. You don't give up. You did a good job today. You blessed my heart. Man, that woman put me back in the ministry. I mean, I thought it was all over. I was just defeated in my own spirit. Whether it was good or not good, I don't know, but I didn't have a good assessment of it. And I just think of all the heroes that God has raised up at the right time. Heroes in prayer, heroes in giving, heroes in standing, heroes in refusing any spirit of offense. I think of all the wonderful people that God has raised up over these years that kept this church going forward. And I say, thank God, thank God. There was outreach. 3,000 were saved. And then 5,000 were saved. Now listen to me. God didn't just fill us with the Holy Ghost to blow our horn. Amen. Doesn't hurt my feelings if somebody runs the church. I've grown up, I've seen it all. Praise God. I thank God for it. But oh, I want to tell you, folks, we have got to stay steady in our witness. There are believers who never tell anybody about Jesus. There are people in their lifetime that have never won one soul that they know of to the Lord Jesus. This too is revival. Everything I'm talking about is revival. Salvations are revival. Healing is revival. Holy Ghost is revival. Prayer is revival. Oh, hilarious giving is revival. My, my, outreach. Thank God for that. They filled Jerusalem with their doctrine, is the record of the New Testament church. Well, chapter 4, I don't have time to do it justice. I've just hit highlights of it. But you know, God wants us to remember. God wants us to remember. In fact, I was just reading, coming back on the plane the other day. It said that we're to remember. Hebrews 10:32, but call to remembrance the former days. Now, that doesn't mean you just sit around or think around or preach around about precious memories all the time. But you better not forget where you came from. You better not forget where you came from. You better not forget that pit that God pulled you out of. Better not forget where you could have been. What was happening in your life when God had mercy and grace on every one of us. I just made a list out. I made a list out of people that had made a difference in our church. I mean, this isn't all of them. I mean, I'm just grabbed a few names. But I was just thinking, you've heard me refer to him, very quiet man, a good carpenter, bachelor. All of his life that I knew him in my home church back years ago. And when we started, I don't know where he came from. He came out of nowhere. He was in one of our first services, John O. Lowry. God sent a carpenter when we had a building that needed to be remodeled. He wasn't a finished carpenter in that respect, but boy, he was good at framing and structure and all the things, and he taught me so much. God sent us a carpenter. Then there was a man who's gone to be with the Lord. His name was Dan Ford. He had an electric company. Time after time, I've seen Dan pull those two Ford trucks up to the front door of the church and said, I've come to help you, preacher. And he'd bring his workers in, and they would do electrical work in that post office building. We paid for much of it, but there was so much of it we couldn't pay. And he just said, let me do it, let me do it. I was just thinking of my own mother. I'll tell you, my mother was a prayer warrior. Dear God, she was a prayer warrior. She was a prayer warrior. She was an intercessory prayer warrior. Not only was she an intercessory prayer warrior, but she was a teacher of the Word of God. And she was a giver. I don't know, again, I don't know where these givers come up with their money. Because I know they don't go to Las Vegas, and I know they don't do anything wrong. Amen. But I'll tell you, time after time, in those early beginning days, you know, there's a time when $300 made a difference whether you kept the doors open. There was a time, a precious lady was one of those givers. God told her to sell her car. I don't teach or preach this, but she had a little Ford that's worth, I don't know why I'm talking about Fords, because I've driven them all my life. But anyway, Fords and Lincolns seem to have been so much of what I've driven. But anyway, neither here nor there. God loves everybody. But moving right on. But God told her to sell her car, and she sold it for $700. Had to ride a bus to work for a little while. But one day she came up grinning and smiling. She said, I just got my new car. I sowed seed into this church. And she said, what a privilege it is to be a partner in what God's doing. Hallelujah. Praise God. She's the famous lady I preached one night from Psalms 91 about, you know, he'll cover you with his feathers and under his wings shalt thou trust. She was some kind of a manager down at the Hilton Hotel downtown, and she came out after a late night shift, and some man came out of nowhere and told her all he was going to do to her and take her purse and hurt her and use her body. And she said, oh, Lord, what do I do? And she just started speaking in tongues, and she said, feathers, feathers, feathers. She said, I couldn't remember your message entirely, Pastor, but I could remember, under his wing shalt thou trust. And you know, when you have wrong intention and someone starts saying feathers, feathers, feathers and speaking in tongues, that just takes all the motivation out of it, you know. What are you going to do with a woman like that? Leave her alone. That's what you're going to do. He ran off down the street and said, woman, you're crazy. You're crazy. It pays to listen to the preacher. It pays. It pays. Oh, praise God. But call to remembrance the former days. And I was just thinking of Brother Wayne Cooper, our head usher. Wayne was in our first service. He was one of two, or was it three men, in our very first service in 1964. Then it wasn't long until the Stumbos came to our church. What an incredible blessing this couple has been to this pastor. Encouragement, prayer, lifting up my hands. This man has seen us through some stormy weather and some stormy times. But I'll tell you what, I'm a loyal person. I remember, and I thank God for that. There was another man that God sent in. His name was Al Marsden. Al and Joanne came in here from Washington, and he was an architect and city planner type of person. And we were on Berry Street. We were landlocked, West Berry Street. We had, I think, 10 parking spaces with that post office building. And we had already purchased two or three or four houses, but we were not real popular in the neighborhood there because we were beginning to bring some of those church buses in. And Al came to me and he said, "Preacher, how can I help you? How can I help you?" I said, "Al, we need to buy some houses around here, but we don't have the money." He said, "I know how to do it." And he said, "I'll help you do it." And God used that man. God used Al and Joanne in a very significant way. And when I got the news that Joanne had gone on to be with the Lord, something in my heart said, "I have got to go to Boise." And I've got to go to Boise, and I did. I flew up there Friday for the service and then flew back Saturday. But as I was there, I just began to think of all the people in the beginning days that this church would not be here. I have several others on the list. I just don't have time to get to them. But she, in going to Boise, was secretary to Roland Buck, who wrote the book Angels on Assignment. She was the secretary that saw the proof of the angels that had been in that office. She personally witnessed it. She called me, and she was about to burn up the wires. Said, "Pastor, you'll never believe what I just experienced, what I just saw." And she said, "You know, we learned everything we started to learn about the supernatural in Calvary Cathedral." Amen. You know, people to hang around here, good things happen. They really do. They really do. They really do. But you know, the whole thing about it is this. God wants to do it all. I said, God wants to do it all. Amen. You can excel in one point and be an utter disaster in the others. God wants you to grow in maturity. And that's what's happening. You know, churches are like marriages. Every night's not honeymoon. Every day's not honeymoon. Every day's not bonus day. Churches go through testing times, trying times, growing times, sometimes losing times. But you know what? If a church is a Book of Acts, New Testament church, just hold steady, honey. The storm will be over. Hallelujah. Amen. I was flying somewhere several years ago, and it happened to be a prop plane just before all of them went to jets. And I remember it was rough. Boy, it was rough. I mean, people were getting sick on the plane. And finally, I remember that flight attendant coming on the PA system. She said, "Be sure your seat belts are buckled, ladies and gentlemen." She said, "We're in rough weather, but we've got a pilot that's been there many times before. And he's going to take us to a higher altitude where there," and he said, "just buckle your seat belt. We're coming out of this thing." Oh, I'm telling you, just buckle your Holy Ghost seat belt. Buckle your Word of God seat belt. Amen. Just trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. God's grace has already provided everything we need. But it's faith that obtains. Grace provides, but faith obtains. Not works provide. Grace provides, but faith obtains. And whatever your need is today, I just want to give you this assurance as we'll deal with some other things tonight, but I just want to share with you today. He knows just what you need. Quartet Brother John used to sing with. He used to sing that song. He knows just what I need. Every need. I remember one of those songs was such a blessing to my heart. Let me tell you here this morning, you may have just drug your body in here. You may have had to make yourself come. You might have said, I don't feel like going to church, but something inside of you said, go to church. You got to hear the Word of God. Just put your hand on the Word of God. Embrace God's promises. Embrace God's promises. The Word won't help you unless you believe it. It's just print on the page until you believe it. It's just print on the page until you believe it. It's just what the preacher said until you believe it. It's just the Holy Bible. Well, what does that mean to me? But when you mix faith with the Word of God, when you mix faith with it, exciting things begin to happen. Exciting things begin to happen. I'll never forget, we've been on the board with Brother Andrew Womack, I guess some 30 years. And I've seen those, every ministry goes through some lean times. Any New Testament church can go through some testing. Well, bound to be something wrong if there's a problem. No. Just Lucy's acting up again, you know. But he's a defeated foe. Lucifer's a defeated foe. But I remember we had a board meeting and one of the board members was the president of a bank. And he told Brother Andrew Womack, he said, you might as well just close the doors and fold up. He said, your ministry's out of business. We're broke. And we owe things we can't pay. There's no way out. Don't you understand? And Brother Andrew, I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was a faith statement. He said, some way, somehow, brother, God will make a way. And I'm going to tell you when God walks out, I mean, when Lot walks out, God walks in. I said, when Lot walks out, God walks in. I'm going to get myself happy if I keep pushing it here. I said, when Lot goes out, you know, Lot could have settled that thing so quickly. Lot could have settled that dispute between the herdsmen. It was in his power to do it. Some way he fed that or he ignored it, one of the two. But it didn't go away. And he chose the green, watery plains. And he left Abraham with those old brown, parched plains. But you know, he didn't understand that Abraham was a covenant man. And when you're a covenant man or a covenant woman, they can take the green pastures. They can leave you with the old brown, burned out stuff. But you're coming out and you're coming through. Because when Lot walks out, God walks in. I can't help it. I've got to say that two or three more times. Man alive, that's breathing life into someone. When Lot walks out, God walks in. Just hold your faith in God. Hallelujah. The fourth chapter of the book of Acts. It's a church coming into maturity. And you know that's what God's doing in all of us. You say, well, aren't you mature, Pastor? Well, I guess I've got some measure of maturity. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But you know what? I'm still growing every day. I'm still learning every day. I still read the book every day. I still call upon Him every day. I still remind Him, I don't need you. I've got to have you. This is a Jesus church. This is a Holy Ghost church. This is a Word church. It's a faith church. It's a grace church. It's a miracle church. Just hang around here long enough and your miracle's already on the way. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Now just turn off that go home spirit just for a moment and let's start praising the Lord. This message is not going to help you if you forget it before you get to the parking lot. Get a grip on what I'm preaching here this morning. It's all of it. He's all you need. His Word is all you need. His Spirit is all you need. Praise God. No one here this morning has a need that is greater than Almighty God. Oh, our God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. I had a little skin surgery here. And I wasn't in the service Wednesday night. Heard Joanne had passed away. I knew what I had to do. You know, Calvary's a church that cares. And we can't touch all bases. That's why we have a staff. I can't do everything. I can't make every visit that needs to be made. I understand. That's why we have such a wonderful staff. But when I thought of 7 years that that couple poured into this church, loved this church, held up my hands, helped us in a very strategic time, their presence and their contribution made a difference. I want my existence on earth not just to be to suck up air. I want to make a difference. I want this church to make a difference. I want all of us to make a difference. Amen. What it just wasn't the nicest, choicest thing I ever wanted to do, to stay on a plane that long and go to Salt Lake City of all places, transfer and go on up to Boise. But when we got there, I found out that our reputation had preceded us. Hadn't had a contact for quite a while. Pastor said that's all they could talk about, is how they got their foundation at Calvary. How they learned about faith. How they received Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin when he'd come and be with us from time to time. And how I took a young couple just new in the faith, and what they learned in a beginning church that didn't have a fraction of what we seem to have going now. But it stabilized them and put a foundation under them. And both husband and wife have been a blessing in another city now for many years. It's going to be amazing when we all get together and have a final say-so, isn't it? What the old song said, we'll understand it better by and by. Very interesting the way Joanne went on to be the Lord. She'd never been sick a day in her life. Al told her he loved her, and she told him she loved him. She said, I've got to go brush my teeth. Went into the bathroom, brushed her teeth, and he heard a thump in the bath. Just went on to be the Lord. Bang, gone. You better live it like it was your last day. You never know. What a way to go. What a way to go. Brother Wayne Meyer said, live every day with eternity in view. Live every day like it was the last day you were ever going to live. Love every day like it was the last day you were ever going to live. Give every day like it was the last day that you'd ever have the opportunity to give. Witness every day like you'd witness if you knew it was the only and the last day of your life. Would you stand with us? Hallelujah. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. And I take him now, I take.